ABC Radio Australia.
From growing up in remote Papua New Guinea to studying psychology at a prestigious university in London, Paul Poloka knows a thing or two about chasing your dreams. The young academic is driven by fascination with people and their behaviours. But as he explains to Marion Farr, that wasn't his first interest or even his first career.
I have always had an interest in science. So when I finished my grade 12, I thought, well, the place that I could study science would be University of Papua New Guinea. So I applied to University of Papua New Guinea and I did my first degree in geology. And then when I finished, I went to work in the petroleum industry first, and then I went on to work in the mining industry in Norway first and then in Perth. And then I came back to Papua New Guinea. And I think during that time, I started to develop an interest in human cognition and human behavior and just the workings of the brain. And I can't really tell you where it started, but it's sort of like gradual interest that was developing within me that I thought, like, I'm finding this quite interesting.
And so, Paul, were you like reading books about psychology at the time, or what kind of sparked that interest?
Yes, I was reading different books about psychology. I also talked to two different psychologists in Port Moresby. I thought that sounds very interesting. I really want to pursue this. I'm finding myself more and more interested in human beings rather than rocks. And then after a period of about maybe 2 years, I would say, I said, that's it. I am changing my career and I'm changing my field of study as well.
And so how did you go from that decision to jump out of the geology world and into the psychology world? How did you end up in London, of all places?
The actual leap from one to another was not an easy decision in terms of, for so long I have identified with my job as a geologist. So it took a bit of like testing waters in terms of, am I making the right decision? Is it the right thing to do? So it was a very, very slow leap, but once I've jumped, there was kind of no turning back. So the reason it being London was because I actually looked at both Australia and the UK, and I looked at several universities. And I think because I have lived in Australia before, and when it comes down to cost, UK seems to be more of a cheaper option, because in UK, I've got a family I can stay in the house with, rather than in Australia, I have to pay for accommodation. The second bit was the fact that there was a lot more flexibility around what one can study in psychology in London rather than Australia. And there's nothing against Australia, but there was kind of more options.
Mm. Was it hard getting into university in London as a Papua New Guinean?
Initially, it was actually for three reasons. One is because I feel like I'm a Papua New Guinean, and when I got there, I feel so different and alone in that sense. So that was the difficult bit. So I'm so self-aware of being Papua New Guinean. The second one was that I'm also there as a mature student. I was in my 30s. Then the third thing was that I'm actually changing my job and my whole career. And I kind of felt like I didn't have any identity. I think for the first 2 months, I was just finding my place and coming to terms with the fact that, yes, I am Papua New Guinean. I am probably one of the very few here. And yes, I am a mature student. And yes, I'm changing career jobs, and that's probably okay, I suppose.
Mm. It sounds like you did find your feet eventually, and you've gone on to study a master's and do a thesis that looks at the way that skin colour affects people's perceptions of job competency in the workplace. What inspired that kind of area of research for you? And tell us a little bit about what you found.
So for my master's, I looked at the effect of skin colour and gender on perception of job competence. Now, that particular topic itself was inspired by my undergrad topic. Rather than looking at skin colour, I looked at accents, how accents and gender impacts how someone perceives you in terms of competence. That undergraduate research then makes me interested in look at, rather than just the accent, but also the appearance. And what I found was that I thought that maybe, like as I hypothesized, that lighter skin color would be perceived as more competent. But what I found was that there's no difference, because I looked at white skin color, black skin color, and Asian men and women. And what we found, what I found was that there was no difference in terms of how people perceived someone's job competence based on skin color. So if you're black or if you're white or if you're Asian, according to my study, no difference. People will still rate you the same. It was probably because there's a lot of movement and awareness around racial equality and, you know, during the pandemic. And I think since the death of George Floyd, I think there was this sort of like a lot of awareness in the UK. And there's a lot of movement going around in the UK within that. So I think people are more aware of it now.
Yeah. I mean, as a Papua New Guinean living in London, does that resonate with your experience, those findings?
It's hard to say because On the one hand, I did not feel that I have been, you know, racially disadvantaged as a Papua New Guinean, job-wise, that is. But then on the other hand, there are sometimes I feel that, okay, I may have been not considered, and it might not be because of the fact that I'm Papua New Guinean myself, but it might be because of the fact that I speak maybe quite differently. So when people don't really understand my accent, they tend to sort of like, don't bother. And they look towards familiarity and what they feel like. So I'm not sure whether it's because I'm Papua New Guinea, but maybe just because I'm not the norm, part of what's like out there.
So you think that potentially if you were a person of colour with a British accent, you might be treated differently?
Yeah, probably. That's what I think.
Yeah. You mentioned that you're one of very few Papua New Guineans in the UK. There may not be as much awareness about Papua New Guinea in London. How do you find it as a Papua New Guinean? You've got family over there, I understand, but do you feel isolated? Do you miss home?
Yes and no. I mean, on the one hand, I miss Papua New Guinea and I miss most of my family are here. Most of my friends are here in PNG. So I miss that aspect of it. I sometimes even miss the weather and just the culture, just having this unspoken understanding of what's going on in PNG. So I miss that while being in the UK because I am the only one and not many people understand the way I think because I think in a cultural different way. So that's what I kind of miss. But on the one hand, I actually do enjoy London's anonymity. Like you do whatever you want, you do whenever you want. But I think you get that in any big cities, I suppose.
And then you mentioned there as a Papua New Guinean, you think differently. What does that mean for you in terms of studying psychology? Coming from a Papua New Guinean cultural background, do you find that the teachings that the things that you're learning in psychology can apply to your personal experience, or do they tend to be sort of taught within a really Western model or a Western way of thinking?
That's a very good question, because I think that this is one of the problems in psychology. I think a lot of it is being taught through the Western lens, and a lot of our understanding have been on research done on Western participants, mainly white university students were the participants. So I really do struggle and question the current knowledge about psychology, because I think it does lack a bit of non-Western perspectives and insights into how humans behave, because humans are not just all white and Western.
That was psychology researcher Paul Poloka. I'm fascinated to know what his research might look like in the future as well. And he was speaking there with reporter Marion Farr.